Before I start, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for your teachings. As I speak, may anything that's not of you fall away, and may anything that you truly want to grow find fertile ground. Amen. So here we are, we're at the start of Jesus' ministry, just before this reading. He's been tempted in the desert by the devil. And we've got three different gospel books, Matthew, Mark and Luke, giving three different accounts. It can be hard to really pin down the timeline for the New Testament. But after facing that temptation in the desert, Jesus travelled around Galilee teaching. He went to Nazareth, where he'd grown up, and as normal, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read. And in synagogues, everyone was welcome to share their thoughts on the meaning of the words of God, no matter what their age. I love that we encourage that here as well. I mean, somebody as young as myself. You know, it's so lovely. That's ironic, by the way. From research, it appears that Jesus was a regular member of the community, and it looks like he was on the rota to read and to preach that week. So he stood up, he read from the scroll, he sat down, he shared his thoughts, and unlike sermons today, they were often very, very short. Today, this scripture is fulfilled. And then there was a discussion. He was apparently a major part of it. Because the people were amazed at his words. And they said, "Isn't that Joseph's son? The carpenter, the carpenter's boy." He responded, kind of paraphrased, "I suppose you want me to do here in Nazareth the stuff that I did in Capernaum, in that town down the road. But your minds are closed because of what? Because of who you think I am, and because of what you think you already know." The worshippers grew mad and they wanted to throw him off the cliff, but yet he passed through them and went on his way. So that escalated quickly. What happened in Capernaum? We don't exactly know. There's no hint in Luke's gospel, and the other gospels don't mention this incident at Nazareth. But at various points when he came out of the desert, he drove evil spirits out of people. There were healings. Simon's mother-in-law. Lepers. The paralyzed man who was let down through the roof. And also, actually, just because it doesn't say precisely what he did in Capernaum that time, it does say at the end of John's gospel, Jesus did many other things as well. And if every one of them was written down, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to cover it all. So, back to the worshippers getting angry. What went wrong? What happened to create such a strong reaction from the people of Nazareth? Well, let's go back to the bit where they were trying to work out who Jesus was. The carpenter's son. You know, Joseph's boy. They'd known him since he was a boy. He'd grown up there. Of course they knew who Jesus was. At least they thought they knew him. Their knowledge of Jesus was limited to, presumably, someone who was a bit handy with a hammer and a saw. He was a kind boy, respectful to his elders, a deep thinker. But do you remember that time he went off on his own in Jerusalem? The worry that caused. But perhaps that's where the problem lay. Their knowledge of Jesus was limited by their frame of reference, and they were offended that he could suggest that their minds were closed. And yet very few of us can claim to know all about another. Quiz time. Facebook addicts are used to seeing quizzes as they scroll through on your feed, so don't worry, you don't actually have to read that teeny tiny writing. So you're used to seeing these questions about, have you ever had a tattoo? Have you? What things do you not like? We did things like these fortune tellers here, and I've adapted these to use with my rainbows and brownies, so we get to know each other. Can I try it out on somebody?
Yes.
Who would like, come on. Who's up for this? Go on. All right, Belinda. Okay, choose a colour. B-L-U-E. Choose a number. 1, 2. Another number. 5. Okay. So, Belinda, what's your favourite Disney film?
The Lion King.
There you go. So, just a little example. I could go around everybody and you'd all get... You might have had enough before I get very long. But here we go. A quick quiz. Snap answers to share just between yourself in the pews. Favourite colour? Okay, next one. Favourite pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
Your favourite season?
Spring.
Your favourite ice cream top? Your favourite ice cream flavour?
Mint choc chip.
Rum and raisin. Oh, I don't know. Oh, right. And then let's move on to follow Shirley's thing that she did the other day about how would you rather do this or this? Holidays. Do you prefer to ski? Do you prefer a beach holiday? Given that we could do these things, I don't know whether we could. Do you prefer the mountains? This is Scotland. Do you prefer something cultural? Oh, quick. It's going to be different for every one of us. Okay. It's my cultural picture, the castle not turning up. Never mind. Hopefully I'm not going to crash the system like last week. So, after you get home from church, Sunday afternoon, is it a film and a snooze on the sofa, or is it going out for a walk? Oh, hold your horses, John. Get back one if you can. Do you use sat-nav or a map? Sat-nav, yes. That would have been different 10 years ago. I was going to ask you to share something about yourself that nobody knows, but you might not want to do that. You might not be comfortable with that. So let's go on. We know this much about each other, but our knowledge is still limited. St. Margaret's did a course some years ago called Growing Leaders, and in it we learnt about the Johari window, which we're about to see, named after two psychologists called Joe and Harry, so maybe that should be the Johari window. It's all about things about me, things about you, things about ourselves. In the first box, when it appears, is things that everybody knows. I know about me, and you know about me. The next box is things that I know about me, but you don't know about me. It's quite a lot of that. The next box, the things that I don't know about me, but you guys do. And this isn't obviously just all about me. This is, yeah, you follow that, right? So, what do I not know about myself that you do? And then the last one is stuff that I don't know about me, and you don't know about me, but there's somebody who does, and that's God. And this applies to every single one of us here. God is the only one that knows us inside and out, even better than we know ourselves. Where's she going with this? I can hear you thinking. Well, to point out that the people of Nazareth limited their knowledge of Jesus to what they'd learnt about him as he grew up. Their understanding was limited by their experience of him and also the culture that they lived in. Question. Do we tend to do the same? Do we limit our understanding of God, our expectations of God, by putting him in a box that's framed by our knowledge? This same God, the one who lit the blue touch paper of creation, the one who stands outside of time and space, are we limiting him to what we can imagine, to what we can expect, to what we predict out of life. How do we stop doing that? Because I'm sure I do it. The short answer is read the Bible. The Bible. This book. This collection of books. The 66 books in this book. The whole of life is contained in this book. We've got love. We've got war. We've got kings. We've got history, law, politics, family, fear, failure. And as David reminded us, you can keep clicking, John. As David reminded us last week, that when you take the letters, you can click again, B-I-B-L-E. We get basic instructions before leaving Earth. I like to think basic instructions before loving everyone. That works just as well. Now, the Message version, the Message is a type of Bible that paraphrases it. It's not a direct translation. It kind of paraphrases things into more contemporary English. And it says, for the bit that we heard from Isaiah, oh, it wasn't Isaiah, from Psalms, it says, God, teach me lessons for living so I can stay the course. Give me insight so I can do what you tell me. My whole life, one long, obedient response. Guide me down the road of your commandments. I love traveling this freeway. Let me long for your words of wisdom and not for piling up loot. Divert my eyes from toys and trinkets. Invigorate me on the pilgrim way. See how hungry I am for your advice. Preserve my life through your righteous ways. Teach me lessons for living. It's right there. The Bible tells us about God. It tells us about his love for all things and his desires for us. But yet, as Amy said at the service last week, it's not just about reading scripture. It's not just about reading these things. You can read about how to do something. And you learn a certain amount. It gives you a good background, a good overview of what to do. But you learn best by, you often learn best by combining reading with doing. It says later in John, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. And yet you refuse to come to me to have that life. You read it, but you don't do it. You've got to do it as well. So it's not just reading. Reading can show you God's character, what his plans are for us, what his wishes are for us, and how we can follow that. But it's not enough. You learn more by living it, by doing it, by sharing it in order to be it, to be God's kingdom. To work against injustice, to help those in need. We too can read, share, and fulfill scripture. Now, you may not have heard of Howard Thurman, author, philosopher, theologian, educator, civil rights leader. And indeed, I hadn't until Madeline shared one of his poems in the February Church magazine. It tells of how we can be God's kingdom, right here, right now. And how we can be the living fulfillment of that scripture that Jesus read that day in Nazareth. When the song of the angels has stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. pray that we too will fulfill Scripture and that we will be God's kingdom here on earth from this day forward. Amen.